My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chattin', your local podcast.
I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark.
3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
I'll have a Long Island iced tea.
Cheers. I'll fetch him over.
Evening, boys.
Evening.
Hi, Rob. How are we doing?
All good, yeah?
Yeah.
Your day's been all right?
Yeah, good.
You going for something different today, Rob? What's that you're supping?
Shipyard.
Nice.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm obviously a craft beer drinker, but...
Yeah.
Fancy
you've got
IPA.
A beard.
Yeah. Just a beer.
Well, I fancied so Kirk,
I fancied a shipyard, yeah. I like this one, though.
Steady, innit?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm partial to a Stones. Now we've talked about that in the past.
Now we're talking.
I do love
showing,
a Stones.
Showing your age.
You're going to say you are showing your age. That is like my age group.
Got to change it this week. Change it up a bit.
Is it going to be a session weekend, do you think? Few beers? Or?
Could be. It might be tonight because I've slept so long today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be on beer and then whiskey.
How many hours did you overlay by today, Rob?
Oh, I went to bed at 6:30 and got up at 3:00. after a night shift, I normally only have 4 hours because I want to go back to bed that night and sleep, trying to put myself back into a normal sleeping pattern, and it didn't work. I've obviously woke up, silenced my alarm, and thought I'll just have 5 minutes more. I woke up at 3:00.
Did you only have one alarm set?
Yeah.
You don't have multiple alarm set like some.
Do you know what? I don't.
Is that just something that old people do?
Listen, I don't need to set alarms. I just get up like a spring chicken in the morning.
Yeah.
Talking about getting up, I tell you what does happen. This is completely true. I wake up in the morning between 8:15 and 8:17.
Yep.
That's without an alarm. I just automatically wake up. Don't matter if I go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. I've started
to realise I've never been an early morning person. I'm always up late and then, but I've started to notice now that unless I get up earlier, unless my alarm's set earlier, if I don't set an alarm or whatever, you're guaranteed between 7:30 and 7:50, I will wake up.
Yeah.
And that's when I know I'm getting old because I have to wake up and go for a piss.
See, I'm really strange, and I don't know if I've just become really... Well, thanks. But I'll wake up, look at my phone, and my alarm is about to go off. It's lit.
It's scary when that happens.
And it meditated happens, to, I dare what's say, happen? 90% of the times, I look at my phone, when if I wake up and I think, crikey, have I set my alarm? And I have a look, and it's like a minute to my alarm, or my alarm's just about... And
I'll tell you what I sometimes
works, I have
do.
No idea.
I sometimes, what I do, if I need to get up in the morning for whatever time, like I'm getting a train or whatever, I'll set my alarm, and obviously I wake up in the morning, I think, oh yeah, I get up, go for a wee, and then I forget, I'll set my alarm. And then while I'm having a wee, my alarm's going off. I'm like, oh my God, is it stressing me? That stresses me out. My alarm's going off and I'm having a wee. And I'm like, oh.
And what happens if you leave your alarm going? Does the house burn down?
You don't know. All he's got is water droplets all the way from the toilet.
How's your day been, Kirk?
Good. I tell you something. Driving to work this morning.
Yeah.
And I passed a lorry on fire, and it were proper ablaze. It was on the other side of the road, other side of your carriageway, and it must have only just happened. There were no emergency services there yet. There were no fire brigade. It was proper ablaze, and it was really weird because then for the rest of my journey, the only thing I could think about was in a car fire or a
was
lorry
it just,
fire.
Was it just that on its own? Were there any other vehicles?
Or I was just about to say, was there a guy stood near it? Or
yeah, where was the lorry driver?
Well, I didn't see any person, but bear in mind, wow, it was still dark.
It's probably on fire.
When I was driving to work. So it was still dark. And obviously, it's a blaze as well, so you can only you only naturally look at the fire, if you like. No one seemed to be panicking, and cars were driving past it on the other side, which then got me thinking, what happens if that explodes? I don't even know whether that's a thing, whether cars or lorries do explode.
Yeah, yeah, they definitely do. You know, I don't think it's not quite that we see in Hollywood films, but they definitely do.
The cars were like driving past it and stuff, and I thought, what happened if that exploded now, and what kind of... And
scary.
it just got me thinking, as it does. I always, you know, overthink things. And I couldn't help but then sit there and think to myself, do you know what? Burning alive must be one of my worst fears.
Fears. Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, it's the fact that if you've got a seatbelt on, and in your head all you're thinking is, I've got to get out. Bear in mind, you're either on fire or just the vehicle's on fire, and the heat from that must be incredible, and you're just thinking, I've got to get out the door, out the window, undo the seatbelt. I just
panic.
That is really scary.
That clip, yeah, because your head's just gone so much, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, I remember when, as you know, I follow Formula One. A couple of seasons ago, a Formula One driver crashed into a barrier.
I literally saw this.
And I've seen it before, but 4 days ago, it was on a.
I know what you're going to say, Kurt, but go on.
I mean, it was horrific. It was absolutely horrific. Obviously, you see a lot of crashes in F1, but F1's very safe nowadays. I mean, it still has dangerous elements, but compared to what it used to be. But very rare you see fire. Very rare you see, you know, stuff like that. Obviously, the band refueling, blah, blah, blah. So to see fire and a proper fireball and somebody sat in that car, and obviously he got out, but only just, if you like. Mm. And the interview that they had with him a few days after, not saying someone stuck a microphone in his face as he's running away from it, but the interview they had a few days, and it was so awful to listen to because basically... He said he knew he was on fire. He knew the car around him was on fire. He tried to get out, but he was stuck. So his foot was stuck under the pedal. And when he tried to turn his body to get up, he was then stuck on the halo that's above them. And he said he got to a point where he sat back down and almost... like...
No, really?
Yeah, he just thought, this is it. This is it. Accepted that he was going to die.
Wow.
You know,
it's strange because you talk about fire, and one of Helen's biggest fears is drowning. It's water. Mm. And two things that maybe I've not been in a situation scary enough for me to think about it, that, you know, in such a dire way. Fire and water doesn't really scare me as such in terms of, oh, what happens if and what happens. Mm. You know, I don't know what it is. I just, the element of escape perhaps, or certainly water, you can swim, or you can certainly try. But for me, my worst fear, heights. Well, it's not my worst fear, but it's the one that recurs most frequently. My worst fear is dying, but I don't really think about that so much as I've gotten older for some reason. Even
can I say,
I'm getting close to it.
It's almost like there's varying degrees of fear/scared, isn't there? Like the highest one, would you say, is phobia? Phobia is like... that's not necessarily something that you can control.
Yeah, so it's strange. Yeah. So dying for me is one that used to wake me up. I'd literally wake up in hot sweats.
Wow.
And that usually occurs after, a really, I don't know, a good spell, if you like. Everything's cosy at home, everything's cosy at work, you're on top of things and everything's going well. And I don't know what it is, something just almost triggers to go, right, this can't carry on. This is not normal for everything just to be rosy all the time. And then, a nightmare or whatever, and you wake up and you go, oh, God, and you don't want it to end. So I literally wake up, panic, and throw my arms around Helen like, God, I don't want this to end.
Because phobia is technically an irrational fear.
Well, that's right. Well, moving away from that to what I suppose is irrational in terms of some of the thinking is heights. Even though it's not irrational to be scared of something in case you could fall from a height.
Absolutely.
What is irrational, and I know I'm not alone because I've looked online, people have an urge to jump when they're at heights, and that creates I don't know if it further compounds the fear of heights, but you can be upstairs in Meadowhall or, a shopping centre or whatever, or top of a bridge, and you look down, and you get these like butterflies, and it's almost like, what if I jump? And obviously you're not going to jump, but there's like this, where does that thought even come from?
Yeah.
And I've read it's actually really, really common, and most people that have a fear of heights suffer with that same feeling. Yeah. And I don't know, and that's probably what creates the irrationality.
Well, talking about that jumping off things, I've been on a few cruisers, and I've always thought, when you're looking up, particularly in the middle of the sea, and you're looking over into the sea, particularly at night time, you think, well, what if I just jump over here?
Yeah.
Do you get the butterflies when you think it?
A little bit, yeah. I'm more like you, Mark, with heights. I'm really scared of heights. But going back to the cruise thing, you just think, well, if I just jump off this cruise ship now in the middle of the night, that's me dead.
Yeah, and it's not so much that you're on the cruise, it's the link between the fear of heights and the urge to jump.
It is, but it's also the fact that if I jump off it, I'm not particularly going to die. I'm not going to die straight away. I'm not hitting concrete, and I'm not that far, but it's just the fact that I've just jumped overboard. I'm probably going to be bobbing around in sea. Nobody's going to see me. I'm going to be done.
I can 100% identify with that. Yeah. I mean, having worked on them for a while, I've experienced that more than once. I stood on the side of the ship looking down and almost playing it out in your head. What happens? And what happens after that? When you hit the water, how does it feel? Then how do you then, what happened? And I've felt myself physically, my arms are putting my hands on the rails, pushing myself away. Yeah. Like, I'm arguing myself.
And that's exactly the feeling. And it's not the jump into your death, Mark, that you might think that if you jump off something that you're thinking, well, what if I jump now? Oh, would I land all right? Would I be able to... And there's all these things that you think, oh, would I grab onto the rails on the other side and keep myself so I'm not falling? And it's bonkers. And where can that come from? And for so many people to have that same...
Well, it's the fact that I'd be just, if I were bobbing about in the sea, okay, I'm not dead, but I'd just see the ship just sailing off in distance, and I can't look around going, oh, it's okay, there'll be another ship in there. There isn't, that's it. I'm going to die. It's scary.
Would you say, and I'm guessing that's not your, if I said to you, what are you scared of? What is your fear? Would that be your response?
No, that's not my fear. It's a fear, but it's not my fear. I don't like flying. Although I do fly, I am a bit scared of flying. And every time I go on a flight, it's a bit weird because the more flying I do, the more scared I get. Because it's almost like I'm doing more flying, so there's more chances of something happening. So it does. I don't like taking off. I don't like landing.
I love flying. I love it.
I knew you were going to say that because you do.
That feeling when he just first takes off and that.
Absolutely love it. Absolutely. Yeah. Them jets kick in. Yeah.
Are any of you scared of spiders?
Yes.
No.
How small are they? And how terrifying.
No, they're massive. They're massive.
You're in a toilet or you're in the shower, you turn around and there's one there, and it's offering you out, innit? It's like, right, oh, we're having some. And you're, whoa! It's about, you know.
Let's not forget it's got eight legs.
Yeah, but it's...
And they run fast.
It's not even half inch in size, and it's massive.
It is massive.
You could genuinely put a tarantula on that table and I'd pick it up and put it outside for you.
That's slightly different, I think. Well, tarantulas I'm okay with.
I've gone cold thinking.
You know they're spiders, right?
Oh! Big, hairy spiders.
So what you're saying is you are not scared of big spiders, but you're scared of small spiders.
Yes and no. So, context of that. A tarantula is massive.
Yeah.
So, I'm not scared of that.
So, about 10 tarantulas?
You're going into the realms of I'm a celebrity now. So,
could you do that? Go in one of those coffin things where they drop all the spiders and things in.
No,
could you imagine?
No.
Jeez.
But a little spider, then I'm not so bad with it. But as they start getting like bigger, I'm scared of them. But then when they get to tarantula size, they're too big, so I'm okay.
We laugh about it in house because if the kids have got a spider in the bedroom or whatever, they don't shout me, they shout Daisy.
Yeah. Well,
get Robin. He's okay with them.
Absolutely.
Kirk, what's yours?
Rob's okay, but he's still asleep.
What are you scared of?
It's like going back to what you were saying, that I have what could be classed as irrational fears. And it's really hard to explain. Not hard to explain, hard to understand. You know, because when I think about fears, I always wonder, we're all built the same fundamentally. We think differently and stuff, but we all are built the same as human beings. But yet, why is it that someone's scared of heights and someone isn't? Why is it someone's scared of drowning and someone isn't? You know, burning alive, to me, is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
But I guess everybody would find that terrifying. So yeah. I don't think you could really
see that. Rob might not.
Yeah.
Rob might be okay with that. Would. Are you cool with that?
I would definitely be
scared. Yeah, I think like an irrational fear is usually something like being scared of sharks and you live in Rotherham.
Yeah. So I think it's a good point though, because I think there's a difference between a fear, like going back to what you were saying, Rob, about different levels. And you say, like, obviously phobia is the top one. I disagree with that slightly. I actually think a fear is the top, as in something that you are fearful of.
Well, yeah, especially because if it's not irrational, then it's even more prevalent. Prevalent is the right word, is it? But
sounds like a posh car.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
But phobias, do you know what? I don't like heights. I don't like swimming in deep water because I'm not a very strong swimmer.
No.
Have I ever told you the story about when Rob nearly killed me in water?
No, I'm not saying it's funny.
I'm not sure I remember this.
But I'm sure you're going to tell us.
Well, I will. Settle in. So we was on holiday. We was in Florida. And we was at a water park. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which one it were. That one with the big wave machine, Mark. You might be able to tell me.
Typhoon Lagoon.
Typhoon Lagoon.
Yes.
We're in Typhoon Lagoon. And I was sat there. I was quite happy to sit and watch everybody else. I'm not a big fan of... Watch everybody else. I mean, if it's on offer,
I'm going to go in the showers. You'll have to wait back there anytime soon.
You know me. But fundamentally, I'm quite happy to sit and watch other people when it comes to water parks and stuff. I'm not that bothered. Not a strong swimmer. And the... Rob was like, come on, you've got to get in. I give you the whole, why have I got to get in? Rob's like, come on, stop being a pussy. So, right, fine, okay. Went into this water, right? At this point, I don't know that it's like a wave machine or whatever it is. Now, I know you're probably sat there thinking, well, we've all been in a wave machine, Kurt, you know, let's settle down. You've never seen anything like this before in your life, right? It is. At least back me up on this, boys.
Oh, the good ones.
It's a big wave, right?
So we get there, and all of a sudden, you hear, is it like a bell or an alarm that goes off, I think?
Yeah, it's a siren.
A siren. And all of a sudden, you hear this massive bang, which is obviously the metal plate sliding under the mechanism to create the wave. And as it bangs against the thing, it's coming. And I remember stood there, and I was probably... I don't know, up to maybe just bottom end of my chest. And bear in mind, I'm 6'2". And all of a sudden, I see this wave coming to me, right? It is bigger than me. It's coming at me, okay? I turns around to Rob and said...
Has Rob run off?
I turned around to Rob and I said... Do I go over it? Do I try and jump over it? Or do I go under it?
Why don't you ask the little kids who are in front of you? They'd tell you.
But I started to panic. You're talking about someone that's not a very strong swimmer. I didn't know it was going to happen. I didn't really want to get in the pool in the first place. I turns around to Rob to ask his advice. He just starts laughing.
I'm sure I said go under.
Under. So Rob's... No, sorry. You said go over.
Oh.
You said go over.
And I won't advise that now.
So you said go over. You went just, in fact, I think his exact words were, just jump over it. Okay? So I'm waiting for this wave to, and it's coming closer and closer and closer. And obviously, as it's getting closer, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And all the time, I'm sat there, I'm looking behind my shoulder at Rob, who's actually backing away from it. So then I jumped at the point where I thought I should jump. But as I jumped, the wave, top of the wave, took me back with it, rolled me under the water.
Oh, yeah.
So I felt as I was then stuck under the water.
I
then struggled to the back, to the top, to which then another one was... It was horrendous.
It was a busy day for the lifeguards that day.
It was horrendous.
This is brilliant.
Okay? And once I'd finished coughing and spluttering and getting over the fact that I thought I would die, Rob looked me dead in the eye and went... I think I meant under.
Did you whip him with a wet towel after?
I mean, brilliant. Kirk's biggest fear in life.
Yeah,
going to a
water park.
So yeah, I'm not a big fan of water. I don't mind getting in a pool that I can touch the bottom or whatever. I don't mind water, but you'd never really have me swimming in open water or anything like that.
Brilliant.
On a completely different note, I know we're talking about fears like spiders' heights and all that sort of thing and flying. I've got a different type of fear that I'm sort of fearful of, and that's like losing my livelihood, losing my business. I know that's completely in a different direction of what we're talking about.
No, it's not.
It's a fear that's more... That's a more rational one to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm self-employed, I could lose my business. I mean, I know you guys, we can all lose our jobs, and we probably all... It's happened, but that's a fear, you know. Because what happens if I lose...
Especially when you've had it for so long as well. I mean, yeah. Technically, how long have you owned your business?
33 years I've had my business.
I mean, that's a long time, isn't it?
That's a lot of hokey cokies.
It is a lot of hokey cokies. So that is a genuine fear that I have, because of how I work, because I have these contracts. It's a fear that I may lose them or they'll be taken away from me. And one particular place that I've worked in for a long time, if I lost that, that'd be quite, not only is it a fear, but I'd feel quite. I would have felt like I've lost something.
Yeah. It's like a sense of pride as well, because you've worked so hard to build that, and then
it'd be almost like losing a child, almost in that sense of the word.
At least you'd be young enough to start again.
I would be, because I'm only 28, so I'm quite young.
That is really true, that, Mark, because it's the time spent as well, the time you've put into it, the time. Yeah. It's not just it isn't just a business. It's what you've put into it over the years to get it to where it is now. For that then to be almost like rug pulled beneath you and it all to come down at this point in your life. I can see exactly why that's a fear. And in all honesty, that is one of my fears. It's not in exactly like that. It's not my biggest fear, by the way. I'll get to that. But I feel I'm scared to leave the job I'm doing now to do something that I feel like I should be pursuing.
Yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm.
So although it's like the opposite to you, it's like a new start, but I'm scared to do it.
Yeah.
I'm scared to start it. Yeah, I feel like I've got a skill, a talent to do something which is, well, it's videography, you guys all know. It's videography and being creative. And the thought of coming away from engineering and on what I would consider a good wage to go into that scares me, and it's what's holding me back from doing it. And again, on the scale of fears, it's a different type of fear, and it's different, but it definitely is there. It's something that I have to acknowledge and go, I'm scared of this.
Will you take the leap, do you think?
I think you will, won't you?
I genuinely do feel that although it's taken me a while, and it's just little increments, just slowly, slowly cropping in, and I do think it might happen.
Yeah.
But that's not my biggest fear. And I'm listening to yours thinking, wow, mine's dark. Well, it's certainly darker than what yours are. Because when you say yours, I'm thinking,
me and Mark.
Genuinely.
I have a feeling I think I know what he's going to say.
Well, I'll let you say that in a minute. But what I will tell you is things like the snakes, the spiders, they don't really bother me. But what I will say on that front is anything that moves faster than me, I would say I'm particularly wary of.
A spider?
A spider?
Not really. I don't consider that move faster than me.
What, you mean a cheetah?
I mean, it only can move fast, but it's silly. A bird.
A lion.
Put a bird in the room. It's so... I can't work out where it's going or where it is. So I'm like... I panic.
The thing is, the bird's in panic. And so you're just feeding off each other's panic.
Absolutely.
Aren't you?
Like, yeah. If there's some, if I'm in a situation...
Just doing an impression of a pigeon.
Do you know what? I'm going to go back and what I said. When you said spiders, if a spider is 10 centimetres away from my face and it's looking at me with fangs out...
Fangs?
Well,
what
they've
sort
got
of
some
spiders
sort of
you've got
teeth,
in your
haven't
house?
They?
Pincers, aren't they?
Well, pincers. Whatever they are, whatever it's got. If it's looking at me and it's that close, I probably won't get away from that quick enough, then I'd be scared. But it's anything that can move faster than me to be able to get away. But I think that's probably human instinct.
We need to go dark, Rob.
Okay,
I'm intrigued.
I'll go dark.
Now, you've got me hanging.
Okay.
What is it?
I want to guess.
Go and guess.
I think it's something like illness to getting ill of some sort.
Not really, no.
Is it dying?
No. You're not far off there, but it's not. But there's more to it. It's the...
murdered.
You're even closer.
Oh, murdering someone.
I think I know what it is. Aliens.
No.
Oh.
You've had enough guesses.
Come on, Kirk.
Come on.
Have you
holding back.
Listen, I just went with my initial guess.
Yeah, and everyone else
and
has
it was wrong.
So, I am petrified of the thought of someone confronting me with a weapon.
All right.
Oh, right.
So, it's not what happens at the end of it. It's the process of getting there.
Yeah.
If someone approached me with a knife, which is very prevalent these days, I would be petrified.
And, you like that pronunciation, don't you?
Have I said that a few times? Probably not even the right one.
No.
And do you know what? Guns don't bother me.
Whoa.
Because it's instant. Wow. If they pull that trigger, I'm done.
What if
they shoot you in
even in the chest, I genuinely feel as though it would be so fast that, and don't get me wrong, the build up to it, if someone's threatening that they're going to do it, then I'd be petrified again. But the ones that stick in my head, it's a scenario almost, and it's someone confronting me with a knife or a bat or something that I know.
Like a dark alley sort of situation.
Yeah, I'm going to feel this, but I'm not on my own. And that is that either I've got one or two or both with me, Gemma and the dog.
Because
it's my job. It's not necessarily my job, but it is my job to defend them.
That's certainly how you'd feel.
Yeah. I've got to deal with this situation and I can't stand there and not do anything. I can't run because what if they can't run faster than me? So I've got to deal with this and I've got to confront them. Mm-hmm. And that is for me, when I say it, that I think that's fear for me. That's what I think. And it's just knowing I'm walking into this situation and I've got to deal with it.
Is there a trigger that's like started that?
I don't think so, but if now you say it, I don't feel like I... When I was young, I did karate, but for like, let's say, 5 months. But other than that, I have done no martial arts, no self-defense of any kind. I've never boxed, never done anything. So I live off this instinct that if it ever happened... I'll see red
and
I'll turn into, you know...
Hulk.
And I'll start smashing, you know, and I'll start doing what... But in reality, I know. If I was on my own, I'm running.
Yeah.
Fight or flight,
which,
I'm gone.
Which, by the way...
Absolutely.
By the way, if you are on your own...
Yeah.
If anybody is on their own, at any point, and somebody comes up to you with a bat or a knife, the best form of self-defence is leg it.
Absolutely, it is.
I would say it is.
Absolutely leg it. Now, I get what you mean about... when you're with your wife or, you know, this and other, or you're cornered, absolutely. And I certainly don't, with the world that we're in now, I wouldn't say that that's an irrational... I know you didn't say that it was irrational, but I wouldn't say that that's an irrational fear.
Well, I were once approached with someone with a baseball bat, but luckily I was in a car.
Really?
And he walked out... I drove to a petrol station at night. In fact, it was New Year's Eve.
You had not played his request, had you?
he followed me and he saw up with his baseball. But generally, I drove to this petrol station. It was now New Year's Eve after I'd finished working. Pulled into this petrol station, and then I saw him out of the corner of my eye walking, you know, towards the along the forecourt, shall we say, with a baseball bat, with his shirt off.
Jesus.
So
New Year's Eve, his shirt off.
It was cold.
I remember you telling me this now.
In fact, I've got it on video. Because I've got
dash cam.
I'm a dash cam.
Of course, he's got a dash cam.
Yeah.
Got it on my dash cam.
On Betamax.
And I, listen, I know how much a price of beer was way back then. So I didn't get out of the car just because I could see him out of the corner of my eye. So I didn't get out of the car. I just carried on driving. But I realised that because of how it was sort of the layout, I had to sort of double back on myself. So all he did was cross back over to the road. And then he walked in front of my car, wielding this baseball bat. And I didn't know what to do. So all I did was reverse back slowly. And before I had time to think, he sort of then stood to one side and waved me on. It's almost like to go, it's okay, you can go.
Wow.
Which completely
guys having problems, isn't it?
Which completely confused me, but then I drove forward, and so it's similar to Rob's.
Do you think
but
that was someone that was trying to put fear in you, but then once they'd done it,
I think there's something wrong with the guy walking around on New Year's Eve without a shirt.
Well,
on.
Yeah, absolutely, but whatever for whatever reason he's got his shirt off, and for whatever mental health issues he's got going on. What I mean is, do you think that it was almost like he'd done his job? It's a bit like Halloween, isn't it?
Yeah, getting a kick out of it.
If you on Halloween. Put a costume on to scare little kids. in a way that's not, that? You're not friendly, but as in, you know, on street, and they, and then they go out and they...
One you're the local clown, Rob, aren't you?
Yeah.
You go out scaring all kids come on crying.
But that once the kids have screamed and ran, that, your job done. You're not going to continue to chase them. You've done your job. And that thought in my head thinks, at the point where you're at the point where you're like, fight or flight, what am I going to do? And he goes, it's all right.
Look, it's like one of them things, isn't it? The world that we live in now, that people are genuinely under the impression they can do what they want. So are there people out there that want to just create fear? Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And do you know what? In their head, they can do it. So therefore, they're going to. And it's just that sense of, that's what makes me fearful of the world that we live in now, that we're surrounded by...
lunatics.
Yeah, absolutely. But people that genuinely think, even on the smallest of scale, big scale, whatever it is, genuinely people that think they can do and behave however they want.
Yeah.
And it's their right to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how that makes you feel, or how that makes you feel, or how scared it makes you feel. Well, or
they don't care
at all.
No,
don't care at all. So I think you know, the fear that you have of something like that, Robert, I absolutely understand.
I'm thinking, when you're all saying yours, I'm thinking, wow, mine's dark compared to yours. But listen, you were talking about phobias, right? So you've all said a few things. Quiz time, right? You ready for this?
Like, right. Quiz.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Okay. So, the world's top five phobias.
Oh.
Okay.
The world's top five phobias.
Are we to guess these? Is that what we're going to do?
Well, the
or
question
are you gonna
is...
are going to read them out?
What is arachnophobia?
Spiders.
Spiders.
Correct. That's number one. So spiders is...
That's Australia, not you.
Yeah, Rob, absolutely. Yeah. That's not for me.
We all know that spiders are getting ready to take over the world. You just haven't got there yet.
Could you imagine being at the top of a really long, tall step?
Did you just say one step?
I'm already shivering in the thought of this as I say it. You're climbing some really, really, really tall ladders. And there's a spider at the top. Because you're like,
I just, it can have it. It can
I just faint. I just that put me out of misery. I'm gone.
Brilliant.
Go on, Rob.
So that was number one.
Yep.
Okay. What is ophidiophobia?
Ophidiophobia.
Is it flying?
No.
Is it that where Phidia. People's got a phobia of hearing somebody eat?
No. So would that'd be birds, wouldn't it?
No.
Is that it?
I think we've mentioned it. We've said it tonight.
Oh, go on, then.
Snakes.
Oh. Now, I don't like snakes. I won't say it's a fear, but I don't like snakes.
And one
I'm okay with snakes.
One third of the adult population
in
the world are scared of snakes. Wow. One third.
Wow.
None of us are.
Don't get me wrong, if I woke up in bed and there were a snake,
bother him?
I'd be gone.
Can I be honest and say that
Ellen would name it. She'd be, oh, absolutely. Sammy the Snake.
Absolutely. And then give it three nicknames. Three nicknames.
But you go to Tenerife or whatever and a guy comes out and says, what do you want? Pedro, he's
lucky
Python.
Man.
Steady on. He comes around and put that around your neck and have your photo with kids and you're like, oh, yeah, it's all right, isn't it? But could you imagine, I think some of it's situation, isn't it? If you open your fridge and there were like a cobra staring at you,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, it'd be very cold, but anyway, forget that.
Honestly, I dare say that only recently, through the likes of Instagram videos that pop up, I never realised how fast I always thought a snake.
They're
slow.
They can move.
They are rapid.
Yeah. And how come you're not scared of him then?
Exactly. Yeah. Be time and place.
Yeah,
but to look at them, you know, like if you put one in the room, I wouldn't be like, gone out that door, which some people would just be gone, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
But yeah, right.
I'm more got in my head the fact that I don't feel as though it's the first time Mark's heard the nickname Sammy the Snake.
Yeah.
Phoenix Nights was legendary. That's all I'm saying. Bouncy Castle for Hire. What did he? Yeah.
I'm not saying what he says he was, but
Sammy the Snake.
Come on, number three.
Yeah.
These are his eggs.
Acrophobia.
That's flying. I'm just going to say flying for them all.
I'm going to say them. No, I'm thinking that. No.
I know this one.
Acrophobia.
I was going to say fear of outside or a busy place.
Open spaces.
Is it not fear of the dark?
That's agoraphobia.
No.
Isn't it? Is it open water?
No, it's heights.
Oh.
Oh.
Of course it is.
That's what we...
Acrobatics and stuff, innit?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're scared of doing...
Oh, that tedious link.
Yeah, you're scared of... When you're scared of doing cartwheels if you're really tall.
So, yeah, so, you know...
Right,
so,
when you end up stood back up so again, you
can
get...
We all so just, can we all just take a moment, the fact that Rob's just used the word tedious link and nobody's pulled him up on the fact that it's tenuous?
Yes.
Just like to put that out there.
Tenuous.
I know.
Oh, I didn't even know that!
It's usually me doing words like that. It's usually me.
You said that, because that would have bothered me afterward. That I'd hear myself back and go... Tedious, it's tenuous.
And his incorrect use of words have been very prevalent.
Yeah. I'm glad
today.
Prevalent, right. Yeah. Okay, so there you go, Mark. You have acrophobia.
Thanks.
Well, I do as well. Heights is a bad one for me.
Two tablets.
In fact,
okay, you ready?
Yeah, go on.
Agoraphobia.
There we go.
Flying.
Fear of outside.
Yeah, busy place.
Flying.
Is it busy place?
Fear of open or crowded spaces. So,
so
far, Taskmaster 1. You guys won.
Yeah.
Is this working out how you've had it in your head, Rob?
Yeah, well, I was just looking at it thinking, I thought you'd have got more of these by now.
Oh.
Last one.
Well, we got two because we got arachnophobia. Flying.
Oh, yeah, you did, yeah. Sorry,
so 2-2. Two, we're just drawing.
Okay, so number 5 then.
Okay.
You're going to take your shoes and socks off to keep count, Rob.
Cinephobia.
Ooh.
Cinemas. Gotta be. It's going to be.
A ghost.
Don't tell me it's flying.
Is it spelled C-I-N?
C-Y-N.
Oh,
the fear of the colour.
Cinephobia.
Oh, cyan. That's a very nice colour, that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have to give us just a few seconds, Rob, otherwise we'll never hear the end of it.
Say it again.
Cinephobia.
Nope.
No.
I'm going to say the fear of dying.
Flying.
No.
Oh.
Fear of dogs.
Oh.
And it's number 5 in the world.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, wow.
And
yeah,
three-quarters of the people in the world that are scared of are female. Mm. So it tends to be more female than it does male.
Wow.
And do you know what, actually? Recently, like, there's been quite a spate of dog attacks, haven't there? And
yeah.
I'd never really thought about being scared of dogs or having a fear of dogs. But more recently now, it's like it's brought it to the forefront of your mind, and you think, do you know what? A, they run faster than me, and if they're educated in a way that's your job, not obviously that obviously happens in the police force and stuff. That's what they use them for. But by civilians using them in that way, then that is scary.
There's always an element of risk, whether it be people, animals, weapons, whatever. Somebody doing something they shouldn't do with dogs, and certainly what you're talking about now, the press. They just jump all over something that would have gone, you know, 15 years ago, wouldn't have even been covered on news. Maybe it might have done on the odd occasion.
Yeah.
But to the length and breadth that media go to now, to absolutely batter a particular topic, once they're on something, it's like they've got a taste of blood, the press are all over something, and they really want to make a meal of it. Because, and I really think this, they love creating panic.
So listen, I absolutely 100% agree with you on the whole media thing. But just talking about the dogs thing for the second, the whole dogs and banned breeds and dangerous breeds has been going on quite a long time, though, hasn't it? I mean, like, I remember seeing something the other day where they were like in the, 70s, it was a certain breed.
Don't,
it was
quote me on this, but I'm going to say that it was something like in the 70s it was Doberman Pinschers, in the 80s it was German Shepherds, in the 90s it would have been Rottweilers, in the noughties it would have been Staffordshire Pitbull Terriers. And I don't know what would have filled that gap between then, and now we're on to, what are they called?
XL Bullies.
XL Bullies.
But what I'm saying, it's not a new thing. That's what
I'm
saying.
No, absolutely. There are certain people out there that want a weapon. And and they take on an animal, and they're creating a weapon.
Yeah, I actually think
I'm not being funny. The most scared I've ever been of a dog was my uncle's Jack Russell.
Absolutely.
And I'm not being funny. He must have been 6 inches tall.
Absolutely.
We were all, can you remember?
Absolutely.
We were all stood on the settee, absolutely bricking it. Little, I forgot what he was called now. Absolutely. Yapping away at us. We were like, whoa, he's going to have your toes. Do you know what I mean? Absolutely. I'm not saying that, you know, that big dogs aren't going to do, you know, what they do. But I think sometimes the media just run amok with stuff.
And
they get hold of something and they absolutely batter it around until, you know, everyone's, oh, there's somebody with a dog. Oh, is he friendly? You know.
Yeah, but I get what you're saying. But you can't, obviously, the fact that these attacks are happening, I get that they might make things bigger, but they have happened. And
I'm not for 1 second questioning the severity, nor the need for action with certain individuals taking on certain types of animals for certain reasons.
Yeah.
I'm not for 1 second questioning that. There are people out there that will do things they shouldn't do, and, you know, they want to have a dangerous dog for, you know, like you said, for security, because maybe they're doing something they shouldn't be doing, or to, you know, create this facade of, you know, maybe they're in gangs. You see all these sorts of things where you see it on social media with these dogs, and they've had their ears trimmed and stuff to make them much more scary. Mm-hmm. It's certain groups of people, I think, that do that sort of thing. I'm not for 1 second playing down the severity of dogs potentially being dangerous.
Well, I don't think dogs are dangerous.
No, absolutely. What I do believe in, and it's something that I know there's a charity out there, and I forget the name, and I apologise, and their overall message is deed, not breed. So, should you really be, pushing a breed to one side and saying, you know, they should be banned because they're all bad, when ultimately it's bad people that are creating these situations. Yeah. The counter argument is that there are people out there that can take a dog as big as an XL bully and can turn it into a really, really dangerous animal, as opposed to, we talk about a Jack Russell, it'll maim you a little bit, I suppose, whereas a large dog could kill you.
Yeah, at the end of the day, for me, a dog being dangerous is exactly the same as saying a knife's dangerous.
Absolutely.
A knife is not dangerous. It could be the sharpest, most pointiest knife in the world. Pointiest. It's not dangerous. It's the person wielding it that's dangerous.
Wielding. No,
you're on fire tonight, Rob.
Back into dictionary corner, Rob.
On fire tonight.
What is it? Wielding.
Yeah. Wielding.
Rob, can you stop welding with that? I mean, that's my job to get the words wrong.
Yes.
So, thank you. It's the person wielding the knife. You know, no knife's ever jumped out of a knife block and stabbed someone. Not to my knowledge. And so that whole thing of it's how you handle it.
What you
do with it.
Absolutely. But I've got to say, you lot are a bundle of fun tonight.
I know, right? We've all come with the...
Yeah, we're all doom and gloom, aren't we, tonight? Doom and gloom.
And any plans for the weekend? Anyone doing anything special?
Taking my dog for a walk on a high bridge with my pet spider.
On that note, guys.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure. Good,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Same time next week.
See you next week.
Yeah. See you, boys.
Bye, boys.
Do you have a dilemma? Maybe a burning question you're longing to be answered? Who are you going to call? Well, no one. But just drop us a voice note or a message over email at inthechat@gmail.com. That's two N's, not one N, because one N would... It doesn't matter. inthechat@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.